beside me. All alone, I walk with him till morning. Without him, I feel his arms around me. When I lose my way, I close my eyes, and he has found me. In the rain, the pavement shines like silver. All the lights are misty in the river. The trees are full of starlight, and all I see is him and me forever and forever.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon.
And Jen.
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome to the, it's not the I Don't Know. Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast with Josh and Jen and Ed. And, good afternoon, Jennifer. Good afternoon, Ed. We're talking here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And we're going to be talking about episode 2 of Glee Showmance, as well as, this is episode 2 of Gleeful. So welcome back, everyone. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
What did everybody think of the episode this week? We'll just start off the top. General reactions, Ed.
I will say that I was much, like, it was just so good. It was just so good. That's all I can say. It was just so good.
Jennifer, general reaction to the second episode?
Very pleased.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, we had the good fortune of being able to see it back at Comic-Con, but to watch it again, it was just so much fun.
Yeah, in case you missed episode 1 of Gleeful, Jen and I were able to see the first second episode, Showmance, at Comic-Con. They did seem to change some stuff, and we did miss the first, 5 minutes.
Right.
So we came in right around the time of the "this is where our daughter or gay son will sleep" joke.
Yes.
Which was a great joke.
Yes.
So let's dive right into Showmance. Showmance, episode 2, the continuing relationship of Rachel Berry and Finn. And a big talk at the Comic-Con panel was how quickly their relationship has progressed. Like, they didn't make us wait all season to see them kiss. They kissed in episode 2,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of groundbreaking when you think about it.
Yeah, that stuff's usually dragged out forever.
Yeah, it usually takes a long time.
I also think this is only 13 episodes long this season, so they can make things more action-packed because they don't have as long of a season to make.
That is a good point. I mean, they don't have as much time to drag this stuff on. But if you think of, there are shows where they get into, episode 9 or 10 before, or even season 9 or 10.
Exactly, before the two people you're rooting for finally kiss.
I don't think Ed and Ray Julie Bowen got together until the last episode of that series.
That was pretty obscure. I would have gone with Rachel and Ross. I at least waited until the end of the first season or the beginning of the second season.
Did you watch Ed?
I'm sorry.
I didn't think that sentence through until I said it.
I always was curious about it, but I never was committed to it. Mm. So
I had Sabrina Lloyd toward the end. That's all I remember. I'd never watched an episode.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. I watched the entire series, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cute, and I was really annoyed when Sabrina Lloyd joined the cast, because she was that third wheel.
Well, back to Glee.
Yes.
This episode had a ton of really good jokes in it. Mm-hmm. I tried to pull up a couple of them, but a ton of really good jokes. Let's see. One right off the top here. The only way to deal with teen sexuality is to be prepared. That's what contraception is for. Don't you dare say the C word.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. It was a much tighter show. Like you had said that, Ed, where your hope was that the second episode would be tighter than the first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
It ended on a hopeful note, but most of the pilot was kind of sad. And the beginning of episode 2 was just so, it was so gleeful, if you will. And
it also kind of started the exact same way. Both episodes started with the in the parking lot with everyone kind of arriving for school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Kurt getting thrown in the dumpster.
Yes, by Puck. Oh,
God.
I love that.
Did you see, Ed, there is the cast was on Bonnie Hunt? Did you see this clip?
I did see that clip. They didn't talk much, though. Like, there wasn't much.
Yeah, there were so many of them there. It was really hard for one person to say anything.
Yeah.
But it just crazy me how close the cast has gotten.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
And that just makes me enjoy it that much more, knowing that they're really friends and they all get along and they're just so
You know what surprised
together.
Me was, well, why wasn't Quinn with them? Because I thought, is she not that important? Like, I thought she was.
Well, she was at Comic-Con. So the panel at Comic-Con was, Matthew Morrison, Quinn, Finn, and Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
The creator.
The creator and the writer.
Yeah, Brad Falchuk and Ian Brennan, I think, are the other two people.
And honestly, that actually made me like Quinn. Because she as an actress was really sweet and funny. And I guess she and Lee Michelle are roommates in real life.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay. She's not mean to her. I know. Go to work and beat up your roommate all day long.
So the thing about... Quinn as a character is that she is in a lot of the promotional stuff. I mean, she's in a lot of the posters, which was surprising to me. And she's all over that Entertainment Weekly article. They have a big spread in Entertainment Weekly, and Quinn and Puck are both in it. Mm-hmm. And that was really surprising to me, because in the pilot, they were just kind of secondary characters, but they must be becoming much more important as the series develops.
I actually think Quinn might be one of my favorite characters.
Really? Like, so tell us why.
I just, like, it's just, she's bad, and, like, good people always win, and I want some badness. Like, I understand her perspective. Like when she was giving that tirade to the lead guy, I don't know why I can't remember think of his name right now.
Finn?
Finn. Finn and Quinn. Oh, that's cute. That she's like, I am not giving up my crown and those shiny tiaras for you to go express yourself. I was like, I love it.
Yeah.
She is quite good. What was her, this was one of your tweets this week was, and I'm going to get my boyfriend back. I don't care so much about that.
I did tweet that. I love Quinn.
That was really great.
I also, tweeted like, quit with the floor play already. Let's just do it, Lee. Michelle.
Was that a line?
No, that was just something I was just thinking.
That was just you?
Because she was like, I felt like she was almost like gonna give it, and then she's like, yeah, I don't know.
Possibly my favorite quote from the episode was, that was the most offensive thing I've seen in 20 years of teaching, and that includes an elementary school production of Hair. So we like to listen to the songs that were performed in the episode on our show Gleeful. So let's go ahead and start with, I think, the first big number in the show this week was Gold Digger. Mm-hmm. Which the first time I heard them doing it, I was pretty shocked that this was their musical selection, because if you come off the musical selections of the first episode, you kick off the second episode with Gold Digger, which is a pretty far leap from On My Own and Don't Stop Believin'. So here's a bit of Gold Digger by the Glee cast, with Matthew Morrison rapping apparently. But she ain't messing with no bro. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Cutie the bomb met her at a beauty salon with the baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I can tell you rock, I can tell by your charm. Far as girls, you got a flock, I can tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her?
No, we ain't seen her, she
give me money. Now I ain't seen she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no bro. Now I ain't seen she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no bro. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids. Got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walking around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that short Geico
your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup.
We want prenup,
yeah! So, Matthew Morrison is really funny performing that song to me, because there are moments where I can see him wanting to do like rap hands and do kind of, you know, very urban stuff with his body, and then he kind of holds himself back. But I would have loved to see him record. Like, the video of him recording this in the studio must be genius. Apparently he raps again later in the season, so we have that to look forward to.
Oh, that's right. Somebody did ask him about that at the panel, the Comic-Con panel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is like right here when I heard them performing Gold Digger, I went, okay, they really apparently have no fear of what music they plan on doing.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kristen Chenoweth does two songs when she's on the show, and they say that they're both, like, she was nervous recording them because they were both so far out of her comfort zone.
Wow.
So that should be pretty interesting. So, Ed, tell us, what do you think Sue Sylvester's big plan is by sending in Quinn as a spy?
Well, I don't know what... She probably just wants to know what is getting... Like, she's just mad right now that there's this other club that's stealing the spotlight. So she probably just wants to, like, control it. She's a control thing.
That is true. Well, that's a good point. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. One of the big questions that I have is something they brought up in the show. You need at least 12 people to play regionals. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, like, I really like the core five kids. I kind of don't want to see anybody else join them.
Isn't there six?
Six.
There's six.
Is there six?
Yeah,
there's six.
Rachel and Finn and the
Mercedes.
Asian girl. And Mercedes. Oh, okay, there's six. Yeah, I forgot Mercedes. So there's six, but we're going to have to find six more.
I know.
Yeah, but the Quinn and the two cheerleaders. And then there was that guy.
That's who nine.
And then there's the guy who was playing guitar as Mr. Schuster was going to go talk to the guidance counselor. So I was like, oh, that's totally like going to be later.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be involved.
Well, since Puck has been in all of the promotional materials, I'm just assuming that Puck is going
to be in it. I would love for Puck to be in it. I think he's also one of my other favorite characters.
There's been so little about him, I can't even begin to make an opinion of him.
Yeah, you know, he's an interesting character. Like, in a show about high school, you usually have characters that either... You know, usually your characters are totally stereotypes. Like, you've got, like, you know, Raven Simone's show, like That's So Raven or something, where everybody is a total stereotype, like Saved by the Bell. Or you have these 90210 shows where the bad kid, you know, the, like, Ian Ziering character always has some moment where he has a sweet underbelly. You know, he's got this, like, he's going to do something really adorable and everybody's going to forgive him for being such a bastard. And so I'm wondering if they're going to do that with Puck. Like, are we going to find out that Puck is actually a great singer? Or is he just going to continue to be a butthead?
No, it's going to come up with troubled childhood as to why he acts like this.
Oh, okay.
Why he is just kind of like this dumb jock who beats up on defenseless students.
I do love the mohawk. I remember the first episode it being more of an insinuation of a mohawk, and in the second episode it's like straight up mohawk.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, it's shaved on the sides.
If you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, if you're going to dive in. But he's a really interesting character, and there's a couple more football players, but I'm really curious who the extra members of the glee or of the group are going to become.
It could be the kid with the glasses from the Chastity Club.
Oh, yes. So we got to talk about the Chastity Club. That was hilarious.
That was really funny.
Because that's a really touchy subject right now. Like, Chastity Clubs are really popular.
Yeah.
And everything that Rachel said is true. You know, statistically, Chastity Clubs actually, you know, statistically more kids end up having sex that are in them and yada, yada, yada. But they're such a big thing. I was really surprised to see this show kind of take them on.
Yeah, and just the whole exercise with the balloons, because I didn't notice before the balloons have crosses on them.
Oh, like, did they?
Oh my god,
they did.
Yes,
they did? I didn't know. I'm not gonna lie.
Crosses with
all I know is every time a balloon pops, an angel in heaven cries.
I know. That's so horrible.
That was so funny. And the way that, like, essentially the two groups separated just so that they could talk about, like, the guys talking about wanting to have sex with the girls and the girls talking about how they're not going to have sex with the guys. Like, totally aware of what they're doing.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what happens in real life anyhow.
Yeah, pretty much. You toy with us.
That's why girls go to the bathroom in pairs.
Is it really?
These are I thought they just go there to, like, figure out a way to escape.
There's that, too.
To test the windows.
No. No, usually it's a share makeup or something stupid.
So,
no, someone has to give the support to get them out the emergency window.
Exactly.
So, they've won.
Speaking of the Chastity Club, I am really curious to see if we're going to get more about Kurt. Because, I mean, Kurt definitely seems pegged to be kind of the homosexual character on the show. Or at least the voice of the homosexual fan base. And I really am excited to see what they do with Kurt.
Because
I've heard rumors he's going to be a big
character. Have you seen the video of You Bust the Windows Out My Car?
No.
Mercedes,
is that a song?
Yeah. It was popular on the urban circuit. Okay. But anyways, Mercedes bust.
I love Kurt's Ed window. Saying urban circuit. It's awesome. Anyway, I'm sorry. Mercedes, go ahead.
Mercedes busts Kurt's window, and then she starts doing, "You bust the windows out my car." And then Kurt's like, "Why did you do that?" And she's like, "You broke my heart." So I don't think he's actually gay. I think he's just like, I think Puck's the gay one. What?
Oh, really?
I think it's going to be like crazy mixed up like that.
That would be entertaining.
Because you don't want, because like, Kurt, I don't think, he's being portrayed so heavily as this gay character that I just find it hard to believe that the writer would be like that obvious.
So Kurt to me was by far the most distracting one in that Bonnie Hunt interview, because he doesn't appear to be acting.
Oh, his voice. I thought he was putting on that voice for the character, but that's his real speaking voice. He really is that high.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were saying how he originally, there was no character. There was no Kurt character, but he auditioned for
Artie.
For Artie, and when he didn't get it, they were like, "Well, we just like you so much, we're going to create a character for you." And he actually sang Mr. Cellophane.
Mr. Cellophane,
as his
that was his audition song.
This is
yeah.
an audition.
Oh, he's great. I love his outfits. How on that interview, he also said that probably half of the show's production budget is on his wardrobe, because he really does have designer clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's awesome.
He's great. So let's take a listen to Push It. Push It was the second song performed in the show. This episode was really all about doing it. And so here's Push It by the Glee cast. I love when Artie raps in the middle of it.
Now wait a minute, y'all. Now this dance ain't for everybody. Only the sexy people. So all you fly mothers, get on out there and dance. Dance, I said.
Cecil and Pat's here, and we're in effect. Want you to push it, babe. Cooling by day, then at night, working up a sweat. Come on, girl, let's go show the guys that we know how to become number one in a hot body show. Now push it.
By far my favorite part of this song is when Finn raps and he's really nervous about it. And he still seems a bit uneasy. Oh, here it is.
Better make it fast or else I'm gonna get pissed. Can you hear the music pumping hard like I wish you would?
He's much more confident on this record than he was on the episode. But yeah, this again was another like, wow, I cannot believe they're performing this song.
Yeah.
In their great outfits. So the best part about this, too, was the audience was cutting to the principal, who was kind of like as if they were doing a Carpenter song.
Seriously.
Swaying back and forth.
He had his eyes closed and tapping his foot.
Yeah, and the The other teacher, what's the other teacher's name? The one that has a crush on Mr. Schuster.
Emma.
Emma, yeah.
Yes, and she was just totally, like, dancing to the song. That was great.
She's getting her a tiny little groove on.
So one of the things we'll have to do on the show, on our show, is kind of look back at some of these actors and what they've done in the past, because a lot of them have really unique credits, and a lot of them, like, are the types of people you look at and go, how do I know this person from, like, where do I know her from?
Yeah, I mean, she's been, actually, the first thing I remember seeing her in was Red Eye.
She was in Red Eye?
Yeah.
Wow.
She was assistant at the hotel.
She was the co-check girl in How I Met Your Mother. That's where I remember her from.
Wow. I don't remember from that, but the next thing I saw her in after that was Ugly Betty.
Oh, okay. So, there you go. Ugly Betty. Well, yes, so we'll have to take a look back at some of these actors and see what they've done in the past. We watch Leverage, and we always marvel at how Hardison, who is, I think, my favorite... Well, Parker's probably my favorite character on that show, but Hardison is number two, and he's never done a darn thing before in his life.
And he's so great in it. I really like him.
Do you watch Leverage, Ed?
No, I never even heard of that, but okay.
Oh, it's awesome.
Not in my head. Agreeing.
Are you just straight up Glee?
No, obviously not. True Blood finale tonight for anyone who...
Yes, that's true.
I have to catch up on season two.
Season two is like a million times better than season one.
Okay. It is. I'll agree with that.
All right.
I do think that the overarching story of season one was probably... Anyway, this isn't a True Blood show. So
can be. Can we make it?
Oh, God.
What? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, if anything you do with True Blood really has to be naked, apparently.
Seriously.
So, did you watch Nip Tuck, Ed?
No, I did not watch any Nip Tuck.
I've seen all of them. Jennifer, you've seen like the first three seasons.
Yeah. And then, three or four.
Yeah, you missed the last two.
Okay.
But anyway, I've watched all the Nip Tuck episodes. And one of the things that I learned from Nip Tuck is that, the actress who plays Schuster's wife, Jesslyn Gilsig, she was one of the actresses on Nip Tuck from, I think, the first episode. I think she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And she, one of the things you learn from watching Nip Tuck is that she's a horrible human being and should die. And this might not be true. Like, she might be the nicest person in the world, and that is very possible. But the character she plays on Nip Tuck is one of the most evil creatures ever written into anything. And now this character that she's playing as Mr. Schuster's wife on Glee is just killing me how much I want to, like, throw her against a wall.
Well... Well, actors say that it is so much more fun to play the bad guy than it is to play the good guy.
Yeah.
I believe it, but still.
She does.
She does it too well.
She does always seem to play kind of a despicable, unsympathetic person. And I have to think that she does it so well, it has to be acting.
Yeah.
It has to be.
You can't be that good at that. That'd be real.
I hope not.
She's
pretty insane. The way she delivers some of those lines, like, you know, like in the first episode when she's like, "You can't ask that of me. I stand on my feet 3 hours a day, 4 days a week."
I think it was like, 4 hours a day, three days a week.
Well, it still works at 12 hours, but still, like, the absurdity of that statement, yeah. But she delivers it with such conviction. I just think she's great.
I believe her. You're right. She, like, then she's to come home and cook dinner for herself.
Yeah, exactly. This is my craft room. You can't take away my craft room. She's really, yeah, I mean, she drives me crazy because I want to hate her so bad. And maybe that's part of it is that she is so good at it. And really, she doesn't come off as evil. I mean, her great skill, I think, in Glee is that she does not come off as evil. She comes off as just...
Well, to anyone but the audience, she is good.
Yes, exactly.
Like, in the world of Glee, she is good. But to the audience, we're like... WTF.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think that, like, if you were met this person in real life, you'd just think she was a little weird.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if Mr. Schuster were to leave her, I mean, when, you know, when he's trying to justify it to friends and family, it's like, why are you leaving your wife? It's kind of like, she wasn't a horrible person. She just was not... I don't know.
I mean, like, she wants these things. She wants a big house, but it's all for her family. She's just a little, misguided in her efforts to obtain all those things, like lying about really being pregnant.
Yeah, I think part of it too is that she hits all of my personal like hot button issues, like you know, I've worked so hard, I deserve a big house is something that like kills me when I hear people say stuff like that. And you know, the desire to have nice things from Crate and Barrel, like even though that is where we're registered, but those types of things like just kind of really are my hot button. So that's part of it too, is that she's like built to annoy me. But she's fantastic on this show. I mean, as much as I want to hate her.
Yeah, you can't.
But the question is, so to you guys, I mean, what do you think about Schuster and Emma? Because, well, you know, there is this other...
I thought they were destined, but now that the gym coach has tulip festivaled Emma, I think, like, before episode, like, when it was episode one, I saw no way out of them breaking up. So, but now I'm like, maybe this is how it's supposed to be.
I know. And it's like, I guess I never really thought about them as being, you know, the will they won't they couple. Like, we just assumed it was going to be Rachel and Finn.
Yeah.
But maybe,
Rachel and Finn seem to at least get it started a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we're probably going to get a will they won't they for a while with Will and Emma. But I it is kind of an odd thing, you know, it's like hard to root for a couple to be together when for them to be together, a couple has to break up.
Yeah. I mean, in like Mrs. Schuster would have to do something really horrible to him for us to accept.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But now she's being like, quit the janitorial job.
Yeah.
I don't want it as much. We could turn the craft room into the nursery, whatever she was offering. So it's like, Maybe it was all meant to be.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
so on a totally unrelated note. Ken, the actor who plays Ken Tanaka, Patrick Gallagher, we see him everywhere. Like, I swear he lives around the corner because we see him at the grocery store. He hangs out at the Starbucks at the end of the street. I've seen him at the Arclight in Sherman Oaks. Like, I don't know what's up with that dude, but he must be around. Wow. He must live nearby.
I haven't seen him.
Well, I'll point him out the next time you walk by.
All right.
So there was one more song in the show, and Ed, you're going to hate me, but I had never heard this song before. And now I know that it's a Rihanna song. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, there you go. This is go ahead.
Oh, no, this was the breakout track from the, like, it's in the number 10, top 10 of iTunes all week. So.
Oh, really?
It was the breakout one of the.
Oh, episode. You mean this recorded version?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, here's a bit of Take a Bow, performed by Lea Michele.
You look so dumb right now. Standing outside my house. Trying to apologize. You're so ugly when you cry. Please just cut it out. And don't tell me you're sorry, 'cause you're not. Baby, when I know you're only sorry you got caught. But you put on quite a show.
Again, when we saw them at Comic-Con, Lea Michele said she was really nervous to perform this song because coming from a musical theater background and that style of performing and singing, this was totally outside of her comfort zone. So she said it was weird to do something that was more R&B-ish.
Well, it's like a story.
Yeah.
It's like a story song. So if there's any like a recent pop song to history, I would say this fits her much more than like Don't Trust Me 303. So I don't think it's that much of a stress. It's just Don't listen to the downbeat and you'll be good.
It is kind of funny. I don't know. I have to admit, I thought the lyrics to this song were really stupid, but it did fit the show and it was a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I read one review about Lea Michele's performance of the song, and then it was like, she blew away Rihanna and Leona Lewis's version of the song. Okay, it's true. Leona Lewis does have a song called Take a Bow, but it's not the same song at all. It's completely different, and it's much better. So anyone who thinks this is also Leona Lewis' song needs to go, like, actually listen to stuff.
Just so you know. Well, I will admit, the first time we saw this episode, I was a little disappointed because I really love watching all of them sing together. Like, those are my favorite moments.
Yeah.
And when she was doing this sort of, you know, I'm singing and, you know, I'm watching my life, I'm watching everything go by. But watching it the second time, it didn't bother me as much, but I also caught the line where she asked if she could use the auditorium to practice because her neighbors are filing a lawsuit.
That was a great joke.
There were like so many like just very quick subtle jokes that
yes.
like you catch a few seconds later, and I just thought it was brilliant. I really liked it a lot.
There were a ton of jokes in this episode. I mean, my God, the gag reflex joke.
Oh yeah,
that got a huge.
For that when you're adult.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, it definitely stepped up the raciness.
you know my favorite joke of the entire episode? It was such a little thing that I don't know if you really noticed. But when they were making the Glee Club posters, there's a picture of Justin Timberlake, Kelly Clarkson, and Robin Thicke. But for Robin Thicke, they had to put an arrow and say this is Robin Thicke. And I thought that
oh
was
my God.
Hilarious.
That killed me. I remember that exactly too.
That's funny.
Now, Ed, tell me if you had this experience. When I first saw the episode, when we saw it at Comic-Con, right after Lea Michele or Rachel Berry has a conversation with Emma, and Emma says, you need to find out what Finn likes and do that, and then you'll have something to talk about, and you might experience something that you unexpected or whatever. And then the next scene was Rachel and Finn in the doctor or in the principal's office apologizing for something. And the first thing that I thought was that she'd given him a blowjob. And I thought that's the joke they were trying to tell, like make you think that, until it turned out that they were just making coffees.
I assumed that Sue, is that the name of
yes,
the
gym teacher.
Sue cheerleader. Caught them kissing in like somewhere. That's what my head went to. I was like, they were caught kissing, but then it was funny because they completely skated around the issue when they were describing it until they like had to talk about it.
Yeah, she made it sound like it was the worst possible thing that they could have been caught doing.
Oh my God. Lady Justice Week today. I love Sue. Sue is one of my favorite characters. Like, I must hate myself because I love all the people that are evil.
I know. Well, the thing is, it's
Sue has a great Twitter too.
They're the most excited. Like we've seen good story, like good people and storylines and good people winning. And like it's, we've gotten so saturated with that I'm just like, I just want the bad person to win. Like, seriously.
Yeah. And the thing about Sue is like, usually those characters annoy me so much. Like, I just get enraged that they're they've got the upper hand and they've got control and power. But there's something about her that I just love so much that I'm kind of like, it's all right.
It is. I mean,
it's like, it doesn't enrage me quite as much.
The character of Sue Sylvester is just a great character, and Jane Lynch could not be better. She was born to play that character. And we saw Jane Lynch in concert, and she was so sweet and adorable and had a great voice, and was like, I think the great thing about her playing Sue Sylvester too is she doesn't really look like that. Like, when you see Jane Lynch kind of just walking around and being herself, she's much younger, much lighter. She has a much happier face.
Yeah.
But she puts on this, like, Sue Sylvester mask, and she looks entirely different.
Yeah, and that gym outfit, too.
Oh, God.
she's pretty great.
You think that's hard? Try being waterboarded.
That's ridiculous.
Somebody was talking to her recently, some interview, and they were like, oh, you know, do you miss theater? Do you want to go back? And she's like, no, actually, this is great. I really like this TV thing. You just do it once and you move on.
Exactly.
I would love to see her live, though. I mean, again, we saw her briefly live, but
yeah,
to see her on stage somewhere would be great.
Yeah, they also, they say the great thing about doing a TV show is it's more or less 9 to 5, especially a sitcom.
Yeah.
A sitcom is just a really, you know, short day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, that's pretty much it for this episode. I can't really think of anything else to bring up, Jennifer. Anything else?
No, just, I think this one ended on more of a downer than the last one.
It really did. And kind of what you said about the performance of Take a Bow, it was the first time the show veered towards being like a traditional movie musical.
Right.
Where the songs kind of take away from, or not take away from the story, but take you out of the world a bit.
Right. It's not just a performance that's part of their day.
Yeah.
It's narrating, it's expressing characters' feelings through song. And then they mix in a little bit of practice, so.
Exactly. What did you think about that, Ed? Did that kind of take you out, that performance of Take a Bow that was kind of otherworldly?
Like, take me out, and it made me really sad. I left that episode.
So it worked. It worked for you. It did the right thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, even on my own makes me kind of sad, because like, it's like, in the pilot, like, she's like singing On My Own, and then it cuts to her in the bedroom posting on MySpace, and then Quinn making fun of her, and I was like, I'm sorry, man hands, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All Rachel's solos have been sad so far.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we will be back with episode 3 of Gleeful to talk about Acapella's episode 3 of Glee, which should be this Wednesday. We won't be on the air this Wednesday, but we're getting there. So
they had on September 15th release this track from on iTunes. So that isn't even yet. And it's Can't Fight This Feeling. That happened yet? No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that was in the first episode. He sang Can't Fight This Feeling in the bathroom. Actually, we're going to listen to it in a second.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So one last question before we go. Jennifer, yay or nay on Matthew Morrison's new goatee?
Nay.
Ed, yay or nay on Matthew Morrison's goatee?
I didn't notice, so I guess I don't care.
Oh, you didn't? When he was on Bonnie Hunt, he had that big goofy... Oh, I'm sorry, obviously you know what my opinion is. This big goofy goatee. No opinion?
No opinion.
All right. Well, I think it looks silly, but that's just me.
I just don't think it fits him. Like, it doesn't seem like something that his character would have.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of funny. They're totally done filming the show. And so you read all their Twitters, and they're like, yeah, I'm flying to San Francisco to see a show. I've spent the day at Malibu surfing. And we're, like, working, watching their show, going, like, waiting on bated breath to find out what happens next.
I know.
This is the part where we work. So, well, that's pretty much it for us. If you'd like to hear more of Josh and Jen, Jennifer and I, you can check out our website, which is called The Idol Review, or our podcast, which is called The Idol Review, at www.theidolreview.com. And Ed, do you want to tell people about your shows?
Just go into iTunes and search American Idol. It's American Idol 7 in Heaven. It shouldn't be too hard to find. I have a question for you, Josh. What are
you
going to put the logo?
Oh, we'll put up a logo this week, I promise.
And www.gleefulpodcast.com.
That is our show, yes. And you can email us at info@theidolreview.com. And Ed, what is your email?
AI7inHeaven@gmail.com.
All right. For the Gleeful Podcast, I've been Josh.
And I'm Jen.
I've been Ed.
There we go.
Oh my God, I don't know if it's orders.
We'll work it out. We'll start it again. For Gleeful Podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
That was yours. And you're Ed.
I'm Ed.
And Ed, how
jazz
are we going to... There we go. Jazz hands. Adios, everybody.
Bye. You're a candle in the window on a cold, dark winter's night. I'm getting closer than I ever thought I might. And I can't fight this feeling anymore. It's time to bring this ship
forgotten.